Because there's nothing better to celebrate your St. Patrick's Day weekend than by listening to us on your Saturday night. This is Spoilers, episode 64 for March 16th, 2013. Podcast on the internet. My name is Ben Gartland. I'm joined here by my awesome co-host, Graham Matthews. What's going on, man?
How's it going, Ben? Doing for today, following an electric week in the world of wrestling, from a great edition of Monday Night Raw to TNA Impact Wrestling going on the road this past Thursday night to Friday Night SmackDown last night. Just attended a Raw live event here, right here in Bridgeport, Connecticut last night. That was extremely enjoyable. So a lot to talk about in tonight's special Saturday Night Main Event Edition, Stone Cold Appreciation Day, spoilers number 63 here tonight.
Indeed, yeah, and I got to spend the past week in Chicago and Newport, and I was very sad that I did not see CM Punk anywhere. I looked for him all over, but couldn't find him anywhere, which was disappointing, but well, so you've got the Raw results?
Yep, picking up in the moment. My internet's a bit slow, but as it's loading, yeah, the overall show is pretty strong for the most part. I mean, old school Raw was great. The week before that was solid. So I was pretty content with this week's Raw. And here we go with the results right now. Let me see. We kicked off the show with The Undertaker paying homage to his fallen father, Paul Bearer, after his legitimate death last week, only to be interrupted by CM Punk, who disrespected Paul Bearer, saying that he will not be able to see Paul Bearer will not be able to see Undertaker's match at WrestleMania and see him lose, going 20-1 at the event in just a mere 3 weeks. During the WWE Active App video, painted back CM Punk sitting about a main event match between the two later in the night. First match tonight was Big Show versus Seth Rollins, over pretty quickly with Big Show winning the DQ after the Shield interfered, setting up a triple powerbomb on the Big Show. Up next, we got Daniel Bryan versus Dolph Ziggler, a great match between the two. Dolph Ziggler pulls out the victory there. Fandango was scheduled to face Tensai, which is a match that did not happen, of course, with Fandango refusing to wrestle Tensai after he wasn't able to pronounce his name correctly. After that, we got the New Age Outlaws taking on Team Road Scholars, match that was over pretty quickly following interference from Brock Lesnar, who completely dismantled the New Age Outlaws with F5s, respectively, to both members, and accepting the challenge for Triple H at WrestleMania 29, saying that he will only face Triple H at WrestleMania 29 if he can name the stipulation for their match during the contract signing next week on Raw. Up next, we got Mark Henry squashing Kofi Kingston. Immediately following that, we got Ryback squashing Heath Slater. Following that match, Ryback was taking all three members of TMD to deliver shell shock to each member before Mark Henry came back out and the two had a face-off. Up next, we had heavyweight champion Alberto Del Rio defeating U.S. champion Antonio Cesaro in a first-time-ever match, a great match. Up next, we had Randy Orton and Sheamus defeating Team Road Scholars, and that's that was named made official earlier in the evening. And on that same note, we had the Bella Twins return to the WWE as well. Pleasant surprise. Up next, on the highlight reel, we had Chris Jericho hosting with The Miz and Wade Barrett as guests, which subsequently led into a match between Chris Jericho and The Miz, where the winner would earn an Intercontinental Championship match on this upcoming edition of Monday Night Raw. Went to a no contest following the interference from Intercontinental Champion Wade Barrett, setting up a triple threat for next week's Raw. Up next, Jack Swagger versus Sin Cara. Before the match started, Zeb Coulter was belittling Sin Cara. The match was over about a minute and a half. Jack Swagger pulls out the victory there. And, of course, in the main event, Kane pulls out a surprising victory over the former WWE champion CM Punk in a no disqualification match. A very, very solid match. Following the matchup, Kane and Undertaker semi-reunite, paying homage to Paul Bearer before Kane was attacked by CM Punk with the urn. CM Punk made his way out of the ring, escaped up to the top of the ramp, mocking The Undertaker in his signature pose while holding the arm. So overall, I thought it was a pretty great show. I really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it as well, and I think, and we called CM Punk sitting in the urn last week on Raw, and you know what? I was really worried about how they were going to do this, and you know, they did it well with kind of, they still respected Paul Bearer. They did it well by setting up the feud, and now this feud is personal, and oh my goodness, it's good. I can't wait for WrestleMania.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the fact, I mean, we were talking about this last week in the show, and we said that if CM Punk was to interfere, it would completely ruin the segment, make it feel disrespectful, all that kind of stuff. But I think the fact that he did interrupt actually added to the actual segment and didn't make it worse. I mean, I think if it was done in a way where CM Punk would have interrupted the dedication of Paul Bearer, all that kind of stuff, and they didn't do anything for Paul Bearer in the rest of the night, then it would have been a bit disappointed with what they did with how they handled it. However, they aired tribute videos to Paul Bearer for the remainder of the evening, so that was great to see. Very classy move by WWE, and they had the whole Paul Bearer thing later in the night. And if you also notice this as well, CM Punk didn't take shots at Paul. He didn't call him a fat slob or anything like that. He was merely saying he would not be available for WrestleMania to see Undertaker lose to CM Punk. That's all he said. He didn't say anything disrespectful. So I, for one, was fine with it. I think they could have gone much further than this than what they did. They could have crossed the line even further, so I'm glad they didn't. But I enjoyed what we got, and as you just said, it's making the feud much more personal going to WrestleMania.
Indeed, indeed. And you know what? They really built well towards WrestleMania and some of the other matches besides Rock and Cena. Undertaker and CM Punk is a big one. Ryback and Mark Henry is a big one. Also, the World Heavyweight Championship match. I like how they're really building the other main event matches and some of the undercard matches. They're really building strong towards WrestleMania. I'm still a bit worried about the undercard, but those don't really start to take form until about 3 weeks before WrestleMania anyway. So we'll just have to see what happens this Monday night in terms of that.
Yeah, I for one was really happy with what we got on Monday's Raw, and I was also happy with what we didn't get in the form of WWE champion The Rock, John Cena. The only form of John Cena and The Rock that we saw on Monday's show was that brief video package highlighting their feud over the last year, which I thought was excellently done. The music choice was very well done as well. Fits perfectly into the feud. And that was the only John Cena and The Rock we got all night. So that was great to see, given John Cena the first night off in merely, I think, maybe 5 months. I think that was the last time he took a Monday Night Raw off. That was great to see, and it allowed the show to, you know, be focused on the Undertaker and CM Punk feud, something that we saw last week on Old School Raw, also seeing it again this week. So given the fact that it's been jump-starting, the feud is starting to take form so late, with only a month remaining until WrestleMania, I think it's important that they start, you know, pushing that into high gear going into WrestleMania, obviously since it won't be probably continuing post-Mania. They need to make it feel as important as possible going into the event. So that was great to see that the show was completely focused on that feud and just showing the brief video package for John Cena and The Rock. And with that being said, their appearance on next week's Raw, I'm not sure if Rock's going to be there. I know for sure John Cena will be, obviously, but when they do appear next, it's going to feel much more important. It won't feel tiresome. And I'm looking forward to their confrontation on Monday night.
Mm-hmm. And I think what this does, by having Cena not appear on Monday Night Raw, it's very hard to carry a feud with just one person appearing on the show. If you have John Cena on the show, you're just going to give him all the attention. He's going to get the advantage going into WrestleMania, just in terms of who's winning the feud. Now, since they kept them both off, it keeps it more as an equal type feud. Rock is still carrying momentum, one from the last WrestleMania win, and two from his WWE Championship win and defense in the past two pay-per-views. And so by having this, Cena has been winning some of the promos, and by being on the show by himself without The Rock to go against him, this show was as it keeps him more on an even scale, and I really like that.
Yeah, most definitely. But I think there is an exception with the fact that you say that it's not as effective when only one person a part of the feud appears, and I think that this isn't all that much applied to Brock Lesnar and Triple H. This past week, they only had Brock Lesnar appear. Triple H was not present. Last week, they had Triple H appear only to, was it last week? Yeah, I believe it was. And then this upcoming week, they're going to have Triple H appear and respond to Brock Lesnar. I don't think he's going to be there as far as Lesnar goes. But I like the way they're building that feud, too, because if you recall their feud from last year, it wasn't the fact that they weren't on every single show, both guys. It was just the fact they dragged it on for 3 to 4 months. They made you forget about at times, like the week after that Brock Lesnar broke the arm of Triple H back the night after Extreme Rules. They didn't mention the angle for 3 to 4 weeks, and they still expect you to care about it. And they dragged it up until that year's SummerSlam, which was 4 or 5 months later. So I like how they're starting the feud a bit late. They only have 2 months to build towards it, which I think it works in this case. They have time to build up the intensity, the emotion, with Lesnar attacking Triple H. Sorry, Lesnar attacking Vince McMahon earlier this year, and both members of DX, which was great to see. I did not get that connection when Lesnar first came out, but I was marked now when I realized that he was attacking the New Age Outlaws, two guys that are very close to Triple H. I didn't realize that at first when Lesnar first came out. So that was thrillingly booked as well. And Heyman's only going to enhance this. I mean, he's excellent on the mic. Lesnar didn't need to say a thing on Monday. He just stood there and looked intimidating. Heyman played his part well, cut the promo, and built that feud great too. So, I mean, I wasn't looking forward to this feud going into it, but this feud has been great thus far, and I'm really enjoying it. And I'm looking forward to their inevitable match at WrestleMania, regardless of the stipulation. Here's hoping that it's something, you know, normal, something like the old Sparred. They don't go the distance and do maybe a Hell in a Cell match or maybe an Iron Man match, but something, you know, stupid because they were, you know, they were rumoring some MMA-style match. I hope they don't go that route. I hope they just keep it simple, just give it no holds barred or something along those lines.
No, I think when you're comparing the, like you said, I am getting more excited for this match than back at SummerSlam, but when you're comparing it to John Cena and The Rock, I think since they're having equal time to respond, which is like 1 week Triple H will be on a show, 1 week of Brock Lesnar will be on a show, I think it's a lot different than Rock and Cena, because Cena is on every single show, and if The Rock is there, Cena's there as well. Now, in this case, they're given more equal time, so I'm just hoping that they, for both matches, that each person, that from now on, now that we've got 3 weeks going into WrestleMania, that they have, that they have all the people on the show that are involved in a feud. Like, I want to see both Triple H and Brock Lesnar on the show at the same time, giving promos occasionally and assaulting each other and other people. I want to see John Cena and The Rock both on Raw for the next few weeks. Because now these are the two biggest matches. John Cena and The Rock is definitely one of the biggest. It is the biggest match. Triple H and Brock Lesnar is still a huge match. They need to build towards these now. That means everybody needs to be on the show.
Yeah, most definitely. I think they're going to be doing that going forward. I'm not exactly sure what The Rock's schedule is going to WrestleMania. I know for a fact The Undertaker is scheduled to be on every Raw going forward. I mean, that's not all that big as not all that big of a surprise, because he's not a movie star or anything like that. He's not under contract like Brock Lesnar or anything like that. So that's great to see that he's going to be appearing on every Raw going forward. But as far as the other feuds go, I think it's actually a better way, a better attempt to freshen the feud up by either not showing both guys, like Rock and Cena, because we saw a hell of a lot of those promos last year, and they were God awful. So I'm really, really glad that they're not pushing that like they were last year, because it's overkill. If you see both guys every single week and they have a confrontation every single week, it gets to the point where it's overkill. But I do understand the fact that they need to feature them consistently, and Rock and Cena should have strong promos going forward after their promo on Old School Raw, which was absolutely awesome. So here's hoping that the next time they have a promo together, either this week or next week or whenever, because I believe there's maybe 3 Raws until WrestleMania on the 7th of April, so I hope that they give enough time to it that it feels important, because by this point, they're making me care about the matchup, which is something I didn't think would happen going into the event. The event, or the match itself, is something I did not want to see happen again at WrestleMania 9. However, they made me care about it, especially with the addition of that beautiful video package. I've honestly watched that at least 7 times since Raw Monday. It was very well done. They showed it on Main Event and SmackDown. Love that video package. So as long as they make it important that Johnson had a down year in 2012, it's all about greatness and redemption and whatever. Because the shots of him losing, the snapshots, of him losing at WrestleMania 28 last year were brilliantly taken. I mean, those just capture the emotion of the feud. They make me care about it. And I would not, as we said numerous times, I would not mind if Cena won the championship at WrestleMania. I highly look forward to him too. I mean, I'm not surprised if he will capture the championship, because I don't see Rock walking out of the event with the WWE championship belt. But on that note, we have a caller online, area code 66. I believe this is David. Not exactly sure, though, but please state your name and your thoughts on this week's episode of Monday Night Raw.
Hey, Ben. Hey, Graham. Yeah, it's David.
Hey, how's it going, David?
Pretty good, pretty good. What are you guys discussing right now? About a second ago?
We were just discussing WrestleMania feuds, like as in, you know, Lesnar, Triple H, and Rock and Cena, and Punk and Taker, and how they should book them going to WrestleMania.
Oh, okay. I'd say Punk and Taker. Well, I just wanted to say the whole thing with Taker and Punk this past Monday. I thought it was well done. I heard what you guys were saying earlier about how glad they didn't go overboard on how they didn't have Punk go on the mic and just disrespect Paul Bearer. How they just kept it like they kept it at a tone. They didn't go out of line or do anything completely disrespectful. I mean, in a way, what they did was disrespectful, but it didn't go anything overboard. So, well, you guys know what I mean. But it was just Punk, like Punk taking the urn and mocking Undertaker with the pose. It was all well done. I was a little bit skeptical of what they were gonna do. I mean, I'm just thankful they didn't have Punk go on the mic. Kind of like what they did with Eddie Guerrero back in 05, how Randy Orton went on the mic instead of Eddie from hell and all that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're taking more of a story approach to this, making it a little more kayfabe, making it a little more, you know, unrealistic, but I'm fine with that. It's way better than having them, you know, go the disrespectful route, as they were saying before, and having them just completely bash Bear on the mic in order to get heat. This was done in a different fashion. I enjoyed the way they did it. And it also makes people or casual fans, per se, to have the reasoning or have, you know, want to see Undertaker absolutely pummel CM Punk at WrestleMania. As you saw in the end of this week's Raw, CM Punk delivered a brutal bashing to Kane before running off, before Taker made it to the ring. So it makes people want to see something like that at the main event of WrestleMania, or at WrestleMania, I should say. And also the fact we were talking about this last week. But I'd much rather have them take this route to the feud than forget the entire thing. Because I was anticipating, not really anticipating, but I was expecting that they would have they would just forget the Paul Bearer, the entire thing. I mean, and what I mean by that is the fact that I thought they were just going to air the video package, say rest in peace Paul Bearer, do all that, but they wouldn't mention, you know, Kane's relation to him. They wouldn't have Undertaker saying how much to him. I thought they would just do the standard thing that they do for everyone that passes away. But thankfully they didn't do that. They didn't cross the line going to be. So that's what I liked about this. Hopefully they do something with this going forward, maybe at WrestleMania after Taker wins, they can have a bow down with the Brothers of Destruction, have a mini reunion, you know, do a signature pose with the urn and all that great stuff. That's what I'm looking forward to, a WrestleMania show of A12 Paul Bearer on the scene. What we wanted at WrestleMania, what we were talking about last week, actually happened on this week's Raw. So here's hoping we get to see that a little bit more going forward. We also got to see more of a serious side from Kane, which was great to see. We haven't seen quite a while. Aside from the, you know, the hilarious video package they showed with him and Halle Berry promoting the call, but aside from that, showed a different layer to his character that we haven't seen from him in quite a while. So, yeah, overall, I'm really looking forward to this feud. Here's hoping they continue to book it like this going forward. And the match itself is going to be phenomenal as well, no doubt. Because, you know, CM Punk's an excellent worker, Taker's an excellent worker. They had good matches back in late 2009. They were feuding over the World Heavyweight Championship. So the match itself should be fantastic, and I mean, I went to a Raw live event last night in Bridgeport. What they had done was Stryker, who was announcing the event as a ring announcer, say that fans should expect anything to happen at live events, which was followed up by Taker's gong, and the place went unglued. The reaction to Undertaker's music came was crazy. Everyone was marking out. And then it was followed up with Cult of Personality. Punk came out trolling the entire crowd. It was great. Punk cut a promo before posing like The Undertaker, taking the urn, dropping it a few times, playing catch with it with Heyman, even going as far as and chasing it. It was absolutely hysterical, one of the best promos I've seen in quite a while. So I look forward to them doing that maybe tomorrow night on Raw. But with that being said, this feud has been greatly booked thus far, and I look forward to what they do in weeks coming ahead.
So pretty much, Paul Bearer and the Urn is pretty much thrown into the storyline completely, then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I figured they were going to do that, so I have no problem with that.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. Now, I'm really interested to see what the direction of the feud is if Paul Bearer doesn't die. You know, I'm really interested to see what their original plan was. This adds a whole new dimension to it that they can do. And I really wonder, like, I don't know, this might sound terrible, but it's almost as if the feud gets a lot more personal and almost better because he died, you know? Like, you never... Like, you obviously never want anyone to die, but it's almost turned out better for the feud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you mean. I was saying the same thing on Tuesday as well. I'm not saying it's a good thing that Paul Bearer died. Obviously, it's a huge tragedy, but the feud has benefited from it. I mean, the feud would have been as good as just as it was, but it's not the same shtick that we see every single year with saying that with the opponent of Undertaker saying, I'm going to end the streak at WrestleMania. This year is not like that. They actually have a story to it. I mean, the feuds that we've gotten recent years with Shawn Michaels and Triple H, it all made sense. It was well-booked. It was a great feud in recent years, but those guys are gone. That story is gone because one of the reasons why Triple H challenged for the streak at WrestleMania was his ties to Shawn Michaels, and they were able to tie that story into that feud as well. CM Punk has absolutely nothing to do with any of those guys, and he's the first guy since Edge at WrestleMania 24 that has, you know, just a random appearance at WrestleMania against The Undertaker. There's no real story to it. It's not continuous from last year. It's something completely fresh and new. So that's what I like about this feud, for one thing. The second thing, too, that they need to make it different from years past. As I just said, they're not going to have CM Punk not only say, I'm going to end the streak, but they need to make it personal, like you were saying before, Ben, by incorporating the Urn, incorporating Paul Bearer's death, but not crossing the line at the same time. So that's what I like about this feud the most.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The thing is, like, yeah, it's not... I'm not saying at all that it's good Paul Bearer died. I'm not saying that at all. Rest in peace, Paul Bearer. But, yeah, like you said, like, what would have been their original route if not Paul Bearer had not passed away? I mean, it probably would have been just similar to Triple H and Shawn Michaels, how they just want to end the streak. A simple end the streak build. But now they brought Paul Bearer's passing into this feud with CM Punk and Undertaker, which is making this very, very personal for the Undertaker. Like, Undertaker just wants to destroy CM Punk now.
Exactly. That's what makes this feud 10 times more intriguing. That's why it's going to be, maybe even generate more buy rate than what I've been for. Because fans want to see CM Punk get his ass kicked by The Undertaker. That's what's making this feud intriguing for casual fans, myself included. So I'm looking forward to this feud. So if they continue to book it like this without crossing the line, without, you know, taking shots at Bearer, because what they did on Monday was exceptional. As long as they don't go any further than that with, you know, taking shots at Paul Bearer, then I'm fine with it. And I would also love to see Kane Dean continue to be featured in this program. I highly doubt it with him being tag team champion at the moment, but I would love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And in compared to the last 4 WrestleManias, where both of those feuds had a lot of history and a lot of symbolism kind of the Attitude Era in the years past, the only history Undertaker and CM Punk have was a crappy little feud about 2009 of the World Heavyweight Championship before CM Punk was anywhere near the level he is today. And it's very hard to follow up on the past 4 WrestleManias with CM Punk. And with this now, the feud's gotten a lot better. And I think, I'm not sure if it'll rival the past Triple H and Shawn Michaels, but I think it's going to be a lot better than it was originally now.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, you mentioned the history between Undertaker and CM Punk from late 2009. They're not going to even acknowledge that, and I'm glad they won't, because it was nothing really all that monumental anyway, so I'm glad they're kind of straying away from that. And a lot of people are saying, why does CM Punk have to be the guy to face Undertaker at WrestleMania? Why does he have to take the loss? If you really think about it, I might have mentioned this before, I might not have, I'm not really sure, but who else is there to face Undertaker at WrestleMania. The only other guy that I want to see, that I could see facing Undertaker at WrestleMania, is John Cena. Obviously, he's tied up right now with The Rock in the WWE Championship picture. So maybe that's a goal for next year, just not this year. Now you can, I'd be ecstatic if that happened next year at WrestleMania 30. That'd be perfect for that kind of event. But the next best guy to have Undertaker face at WrestleMania is CM Punk. Brock Lesnar was another big candidate, but they're not going to mention their C history of that confrontation from like 2010. They're obviously not going to mention that. And Brock Lesnar's style is way too aggressive for Undertaker. Yeah, exactly. The match wouldn't be as, you know, as huge and as epic as many people expect it to be, because Lesnar is way more physical. If we saw that brawl with Triple H from a couple weeks ago, he is way more physical than Undertaker at this point in time, especially with Undertaker still being injured from last year. So CM Punk, the same guy who was the biggest heel in WWE today, one of the biggest heels in wrestling today, the man who reigns as WWE champion for a consecutive 434 days, he deserves this match, because if he's not going to be involved in the title match with Rock and Punk, I'm with Rock and Cena, I'm sorry, he might as well be facing The Undertaker. As I said before, the match is going to be great. So, and it's going to definitely even be better than the matches in late 2009, because as you were saying before, Ben, his character has evolved, his in-ring skills have evolved. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. It's probably the most highly anticipated match on the card for me. Rock and Cena, I mean, the story's been good up to this point, but the match isn't going to be anything special. It's not going to be a five-star match classic like, you know, it's going to be similar to last year, say that. And then Brock and Triple H is going to be a nice brawl, and then Del Rio and Swagger might be a great in-ring action match. But I'm going to tell you right now, Taker versus Punk at WrestleMania will, in fact, steal the show, undoubtedly.
Cool. I'm still, did you guys already discuss the Rock and, you know?
Somewhat.
You know, video package they showed on Monday?
We discussed that a brief bit, not all that much, though.
Yeah, Graham, I'm going to stick with my word. I'm sticking with it till WrestleMania. If Cena does lose to The Rock, I mean, I see it as a possibility now that Rock is confirmed for Extreme Rules. I don't know what route they're going to go, but just the idea of Cena losing to Rock again at WrestleMania, the biggest stage of them all, and for the WWE title this time. I mean, after the video package they showed, I mean, just Cena losing again is just, I just believe he's going to go heel. I think if he loses at WrestleMania, it's time to pull the trigger and turn him heel.
Well, I think I won't count that out, but I think it's just the fact that Rock, I mean, being the big babyface that he is, he's not going to be around forever, obviously. I mean, despite the fact that he's going to be advertised for Extreme Rules or not, he's still not the number one babyface company because he's not consistently. And if Cena's not going to be the top of the mountaintop as the number one babyface, then who is? I mean, we were talking about in recent weeks how CM Punk might turn, but I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I don't see them changing Punk and Cena right at the same time. That might be a little too sudden. And then I really don't see anything else. I mean, Sheamus and Orton, kind of, they're not going to be the new face. They've been irrelevant for months. Del Rio is hardly over. I mean, he's getting nice reactions. He's developing nicely as a face, but he's nowhere near the company's top face. So, that being said, I think it might be a little premature to turn Cena that way. I mean, it's possible. I mean, leading into Cena's lockdown, the whole feud with Jeff Hardy and Bully Ray was terribly booked. I mean, I did not enjoy that at all. The build for the event was terrible, but the event itself was great, and they executed the Bully Ray heel turn there on the biggest stage of TNA, aside from, you know, Bound for Glory and whatever. So, that could be an example of that, but... And again, like you were saying, WrestleMania is that big stage where it's the only stage that I could see a John Cena heel turn happening, but I just don't see Cena losing at WrestleMania and then executing a heel turn. Maybe we could see him winning and then turning heel. I just don't see Rock walking out of the championship. That's all I mean, because I don't see another rematch or Rock Cena 3 at Extreme Rules due to it being a B-level show.
Yeah. Well, the thing about the difference between John Cena and Bully Ray is because Bully Ray's heel turn was, everyone knew it was going to happen. It was just a matter of when it's going to happen. And John Cena has been a babyface, the face of the company for years now. And people say he's overdue for a heel turn, but yeah, like you said, you know, he's the biggest face of the company. So If they had a number two top face, then yeah, a John Cena heel turn would be more likely. But I mean, it's just that video package alone convinced me that they may. I mean, because yeah, it's confirmed now that Rock's for Extreme Rules and SummerSlam, which is I think a couple months after Extreme Rules. But yeah, it's just that video package alone convinced me that. This may be a Cena heel turn if he loses again. If he loses, you know, it's pretty predictable he's gonna get the title from Rock. Or they may just swerve everybody and just decide to turn the guy heel. I mean, you know, it's that video package has truly convinced me we may actually see a heel turn at Mania.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I think it's just different for me that I don't believe that's gonna happen after all the, you know, the other perfect opportunity for. The other perfect opportunities for them to execute it in the last few years, I mean, with Rock versus Rock and Cena tag team together at Survivor Series 2011, I thought for sure that was the night Cena was going to turn heel. Thought it was going to be the night that Cena was going to turn on Rock and give Austin Truth the victory and then form an NWO-like stable or something along those lines. I was hell-bent on that idea, but of course it didn't happen, and every time since then, despite the whole Rise Above Hate thing, him losing at WrestleMania, I knew for sure that he was not going to turn heel regardless, because there are many perfect opportunities by this point. I've honestly just lost hope in a heel turn. I don't think it's going to be happening anytime soon. By that, I don't mean at WrestleMania or anything like that. I just mean be down the line, if at all, but I just don't see it happening, especially now more than ever, with there not being a number two babyface, Punk now heel. I just don't see anyone taking his place anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, I was strongly convinced last year when Cena had that feud with Kane, how Kane was trying to get the hate out of Cena, and then that week where Kane returned and attacked Cena, when he had that match with Mark Henry, when he came back with the mask and choked on Cena, I think it was the week after or 2 weeks after, when Kane was saying on the mic that John Cena doesn't know how to embrace the hate. And John Cena came out, and Kane was saying that the fans don't respect you, and you need to realize that, and it's time for you to embrace the hate. And then the show ended with Cena having the sad, like the down face, looking at the crowd, and the crowd just completely on Cena with the Cena Slugs chant. So they were teasing a heel turn, and I was convinced that it was gonna be Kane bringing the hate out of John Cena, going into WrestleMania, and then you know Rock beats Cena, and Cena goes heel and just completely. Choice of Rock out of just anger and embarrassment.
Well, also on a similar note, too, remember Rock and Stone Cold 2 at WrestleMania 17? That's where they pulled the whole Stone Cold heel turn with him aligning with Mr. McMahon. Right, if my memory serves me correctly, isn't that the event that happened at?
Yeah, it was something.
Yeah, so I mean, with the rematch between Rock and Cena, maybe that could be a correlation between the two. Maybe that could happen. I'm just saying that, you know, you can just point that out, but. Maybe, I mean, it's a possibility. I won't count it out again, but I'm not sure. I'm just all that positive about it. I do definitely obviously Cena winning. I see him winning, but I just don't see the heel turn happening this quickly or at this point in time. I mean, again, as I just said, maybe they could do it after the match, Cena winning. He's going to shake his hand, and then he executes a heel turn, maybe. But even still, if he executes a heel turn, if he attacks The Rock, how many people are going to take that as a heel turn? Because, I mean, we've seen Cena hit the attitude adjustment on Rock how many times in the last, you know, 2 years, and it was never really a heel turn. They were just kind of buddies and whatnot. So, I don't know. The only thing I just don't want to see at WrestleMania is have Cena win the championship and hug it out afterwards. That's what I thought was going to happen last year, and they shocked us by having Rock win. Then Cena sit on the stage and do that, you know, that beautiful word, that beautiful picture that's worth 1,000 words, sitting on the stage looking disappointed in his loss. They gave us that instead, so I was ecstatic with that. I just don't want them to take the route that I expected them to take last year with Cena winning and hugging out with Rock, you know, pass the torch, all that BS. So I just don't want to see that this year. That's all I ask from WWE.
Yeah. Now, I don't think that this match is perfectly set up to give Cena that redemption. If you think about it, he has not been a WWE champion since 2011. I mean, just think about that. The face of the company has not been the champion in like a year and a half. It's mind-blowing when you think about it. This match is perfectly set up to get redemption. He gets his revenge on The Rock. He gets his championship back, and the champ is finally back as it's in the WWE. So I highly, highly doubt they turn him heel at WrestleMania. I think it is logical and predictable, but also a good way to keep the feud to give him back the championship. It's the good kind of predictable to happen.
That's true. I mean, sometimes predictability isn't always a bad thing. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with the story. I mean, as much as they don't like Cena winning a WrestleMania and whatever, yeah, you got to admit, over the last 2 years, they've told an excellent story with both Rock, Cena, and Punk and how they've built this up between the two. If you would have told me this was all going to be happening 2 years from now, I would have never believed you. I mean, when Rock first came back and hinting at a potential rematch with John Cena and costing him the match WrestleMania 27, booking the match the next night on Raw, building the whole year up with Pat and the promos and whatever, doing the match at 20 with Rock winning. Now focusing it over to the championship with Cena winning this time around. As much as they don't want to admit it, it's been a great story. I mean, as predictable as it is, it's something that is logical, as you just said before, Ben, in the fact that it's been very well booked. It benefits Cena in the end. I mean, he doesn't really need a win by this point, but even still, as you were just saying, he has been champion for a year and a half. So I'm not saying that he's overdue, but as I've said numerous times before, I would not find him as WWE champion again. It's fine with me, as long as he has fresh opponents, his character is a little bit more serious this time. As we've seen it from him in recent weeks, I'm completely fine with it. But the feud itself between Rock and Cena, you have to admit, over the last 2 years, since their initial confrontation in early 2011, has been very, very well booked. The only thing I don't ask is that we see a third match at next year's WrestleMania, WrestleMania 30, just feel completely different direction. You don't need a number three. You just have the rematch, and that's it. I mean, after this year, I don't see them pulling anything out. I can't see what else they can do in this feud if they were to continue it for another year. I mean, again, I see this happening. I don't see a rematch after Extreme Rules. Maybe a triple threat match with Funk, since Taker is not going to meet Extreme Rules, obviously. Maybe a triple threat with Funk here, the match that we wanted to see at WrestleMania this year. But I think that would be great, but I just don't see a rematch happening at SummerSlam or whatever. Just ended at WrestleMania, Cena won the championship. Very well booked feud, regardless of how I feel about either guy.
I mean, if they do it, They might do it for a third time next year, WrestleMania 30. Like you guys, I do not want to see it for the third time, especially at WrestleMania. 3 is just completely overkill. It does not need to be done. Like I've been very surprised that they've actually found another route to build up a Rock Cena match for WrestleMania, and it's been great. The confrontation they had last week was great. The video package they put together this past Monday was great. It's a story of redemption, and it's been told really good. I mean, like, you know, weeks ago we were talking about, you know, this is going to be a love fest between Rock and Cena going up to WrestleMania, but it's the complete opposite. Cena's trying to get redemption. Rock told him, you ain't getting redemption, you're just getting your ass kicked. You know, it's all great. It's good stuff, and I like it.
I think I'd be fine with a rematch between the two. I mean, as much as I do not want to see a third match between the two, I'd be fine with it if they went with your idea and they turned them heel. But again, I do not see that happening. So that being said, I don't want to see a third match, especially WrestleMania. I mean, if they did it at SummerSlam or Extreme Rules or the next night on Raw or a WWE Superstar taping, I don't care. I just do not want to see it at WrestleMania again next year because, as I said before, I am desperately, anxiously looking forward to Cena versus Undertaker at WrestleMania, a match that I've been looking forward to for years now, a match that I wanted to see last year, couldn't happen, but that is a match that I want to see at WrestleMania 30, and there's no other roster they can go with Cena and Rock, that's what I'm saying. If they have Cena win, then why would Rock need to get, a win back at WrestleMania 30? He's already defeated John Cena. I know you've got that rubber match thing, but you don't need it, just leave it at that. Put Cena to WrestleMania, and leave Rock working WrestleMania 32. So just put him against like Brock Lesnar or something in the match that I also wanted to see this year. But that aside, I think if they just ended at WrestleMania, that's the best way to end it, with Cena capturing the championship, standing tall. blah, 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 and as long as they don't hug it out, I'm content.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to go through with Cena and The Undertaker, and then it'll have to happen next year. I'm certain of it. If that happens, we will not see a third Rock and Cena match. If they decide not to go with it, then I can definitely see a match closing the books, especially if Cena wins on WrestleMania 29. Now, if you do remember, this is kind of similar to Rock and Steve Austin. They wrestled at 15, 17, and 19. Stone Cold won the first two WrestleManias at 15 and 17. It took till WrestleMania 19 for The Rock to finally get his WrestleMania win over Steve Austin. So I could also see them going into something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is true. Both Stone Cold and Rock weren't both faces at the time. So, I mean, their material wasn't limited going into their matches at WrestleMania 15 and 19, respectively. And also on that same note, the WrestleManias weren't consecutive. It wasn't WrestleMania 15, 16, 17. It was WrestleMania 15, 17, and 19. So we were given two-year breaks in between both matches to refresh from that match and get a rematch, you know, the following year. I don't know why they booked it that way. I mean, I wasn't a fan at the time. I have no idea. But Rock and Cena is different because the feud isn't booked all that great. I mean, it's in terms of promos. After the terrible promos that we saw last year, I've been a little bit more hopeful about the promos that we've seen thus far this year with the video package, which was very well done, the old-school Raw promo. Those were great, and I'm just saying, I don't know what else I could do for this feud after this year. As you just said, Rock, Stone Cold had two-year breaks, so it was different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So, I really don't know. And especially, the thing that I kind of look at is The Rock is booked for Extreme Rules. So, if they do have The Rock beat Cena, and he gets to keep his title, he could easily lose it at Extreme Rules to someone who's not John Cena. Then you could have that third match next year. If Cena wins, then they'll have the rematch at Extreme Rules for the rematch clause, unless they conveniently forget it. And there's something else thrown in there. See, The Rock being confirmed for Extreme Rules, that is what really interests me, because I think that throws a huge wrench into this WrestleMania match. That sets up the possibility for so many different outcomes that could happen 1 month later.
That's true. What I'm hoping for, as I was just saying before, triple threat, Punk, Rock, Cena makes the most sense. And as you were just saying, if they don't have, I mean, you know, as you guys were just saying, if Rock emerges victorious, then who else are they going to have him drop the championship? Who else are they going to have him drop the championship to if it's not John Cena? There's not many other top guys in near the Raw brand. There's not many top guys in just general. I mean, because guys like Orton, Sheamus, Big Show, whoever, aren't relevant at the moment. We have a world championship match between Del Rio and Jack Swagger, two guys that were irrelevant 3 months ago. So, then again, I don't know who else could take the championship off of The Rock if Cena didn't win at WrestleMania. That's another thing I'm skeptical of. I mean, if they had a Money in the Bank winner or something along those lines, they could always execute that, or if they had the match at WrestleMania. But they're not going that way. They're just doing Dolph Ziggler's a SmackDown Money in the Bank holder, which means he can only cash in for the World Championship. So they can't do that either. And if they change that up, I mean, some people have speculated if they change the name of the contract and stuff like that, that's a little too far-fetched for my liking. I think they should just have him cash in for the World title. He'd be much better off with that championship anyway. He should just cash in at WrestleMania or even further down the line. Doesn't matter to me, as long as he wins the World Championship and does not cash in unsuccessfully. But that being said, I just don't know who else I can have him lose a championship to. But as you were just saying, Ben, yes, I think it does make the match more intriguing in WrestleMania, knowing that Rock is advertised for Extreme Rules. But I only think it's merely due to the fact that if he loses, or when he loses the WrestleMania, he has to, you know, use a logic in invoking his rematch at Extreme Rules. And I just don't see them doing a rematch between Rock and Cena. So you throw in some of their, like, Punk, just a triple threat. It's a great match. It brings them buy rates. And then Rock takes off for a number of months before it comes back for another feud.
And then Rock booked for SummerSlam, so I could see him returning a couple months after Extreme Rules.
Yeah, probably around SummerSlam, I would imagine.
Maybe a little bit before, or definitely after Money in the Bank.
Yeah, like they did with Raw 1000 this year. Yeah, you just start building that up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Now, let's kind of move on to discussing the World Heavyweight Championship picture, and kind of the, like, I think what a lot of people are forgetting here is we've got this nice match. We've got Del Rio and Swagger going for the World Heavyweight Championship WrestleMania. And I think, especially what I'm wondering is if and how Dolph Ziggler will be involved in this match at all.
I think that they might have him cash in afterwards, but if he doesn't cash in, I think they might go with the scenario that I've been looking forward to for a while now. I mean, I think it's a possibility that Dolph Ziggler waits until the Money in the Bank pay-per-view in July. Will they go that far? I'm not sure, but I think it's unprecedented. It's never been done before. It's fresh. So I wouldn't mind it if they did go that route, as long as Taker wins successfully. As long as Ziggler becomes a world champion, I'm completely content with however or when they end up having him cash in. But I do think that having him cash in at WrestleMania would pack a much bigger punch than having him cash in July due to the fact that it's WrestleMania. Ziggler has never had a WrestleMania moment. He's been featured in Money in the Bank matches, multi-man matches, but never really had that breakout moment at WrestleMania. So having him win the World Championship at WrestleMania would be great. But it has been rumored that we might be seeing a submission match between Del Rio and Swagger at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view in May. So I could see them keeping the title on that feud. But then again, back in 2010, if you can recall, they had him. They had Jack Swagger cash in the Money in the Bank World Championship. And they had him cash in Money in the Bank and win the World Championship, but not be involved in the World Title picture with Edge and Jericho. Edge and Jericho, who competed in the World Title in 2026, moved into a feud of their own, doing the Extreme Rules that did not include the World Heavyweight Championship. So I'd much rather see that feud go that route, because Del Rio versus Swagger is not about the World Championship. They don't need the World Championship. It's making the title feel meaningless, because all Swagger ever talks about is the immigration shit with Zip Coulter and all that stuff. They don't need the world title in that feud. They do not need it at all. Jack Swagger, I do not see him winning the world championship at WrestleMania. I will say that right now. So just move the championship on to Ziggler, then have him face maybe Jericho at Extreme Rules or whoever ends up facing WrestleMania, because I mean, that'd be a much better scenario than keeping the title on Del Rio post-main.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, yeah, this is something else that came to my mind. Let's remember Jack Swagger's DUI, and he still may be punished. So the punishment I was thinking that may happen to Swagger is they might embarrass him on WrestleMania. Okay, for example, say Jack Swagger beats Del Rio for the title, and they have Ziggler cash in on Swagger to win the title, and that'd be Swagger's punishment for his DUI.
That's possible. I mean, I could see that happening, but I think it's just better not to give him the world championship at all. I mean, actually, you never know, because Ziggler held the world championship back in early last year for maybe, oh wait, was it early last year? No, it was early 2 years ago, 2011. He held it
for like an hour.
Not even that, I don't think. I think it was like 15 minutes, because I think Vicky Guerrero awarded him or something like that. And then they had the title defense maybe like 5 minutes later with Edge. It was something like that. So he didn't hold the title very long. But
it was something like that.
I think, yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was something like that, yeah. And if they did the same thing with Jack Swagger at WrestleMania, I could see that happen. That's what I thought they were going to do with the Big Show back at Hell in a Cell, because he was, you know, the whole 45-second guy. I thought they were going to do the same thing with him back at Hell in a Cell. Obviously, they ended up going that route, but... Yeah, I think I wouldn't mind that idea, but I think it'd just be better if they had Ziggler cash in on Del Rio. But then again, I wouldn't mind, but I guess it would make sense too, because if they had Jack Swagger win the championship, and then you have Ziggler cash in the championship, you have Ziggler cash in and win the championship, then technically Swagger can still be considered in the title picture because he has a rematch clause and he lost the belt, and then you do a triple threat match between the three at Extreme Rules, which I think would be fantastic.
Because I'm by this point, I highly doubt we're going to see Jericho and Ziggler wrestle each other again. So, or maybe,
oh,
yeah,
that's
by this point, it's not happening. Maybe down the line, because Jericho, I think his contract's for Extreme Rules, and then he's out. I think he's going back on tour with Fozzy or something like that. But, yeah, maybe they can go with my idea of Ziggler. If Ziggler cashes in on Swagger or Del Rio, whoever wins the match at WrestleMania. Like you said, like I said a few moments ago, Swagger and Del Rio, their feud does not need the world title. It's making it very, very meaningless. Because this is something they could have done without the world title, and it would have made perfect sense. And, you know, if Ziggler takes the title away from them, you know, they can just continue on their feud without the world title, and then they can start building up Ziggler as world champion. And, you know, maybe they can have him go against Jericho at Extreme Rules and have Jericho put him over before he leaves again to go on tour. You know, maybe something like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to see, too. But the only thing that concerns me is the fact that both on Raw and SmackDown, respectively, this week, they teased a feud between Team Hell No and Biggie Langston and Dolph Ziggler, presumably over the WWE Tag Team Championships, because Dolph Ziggler defeated both Daniel Bryan and Kane this week on Raw and SmackDown, respectively. So with that being said, I would assume they get the Tag Team title shot at WrestleMania alongside Biggie Langston. Now, what concerns me about that is that at WrestleMania, we have, at this point in time, four main event marquee matches. We have Rock and Cena for the WWE title, Punk and Taker, Lesnar and Triple H, and then you got Del Rio versus Swagger for the World Championship. Obviously, like we've seen in years past, the lesser of the four matches is obviously the World Championship match, so if any of the matches, in order to space it out correctly, is going to open up the show, it's going to be the World Title match. Now, if they do have a Ziggler at WrestleMania, if they leave him off the card completely and they don't advertise him beforehand, I'm going to be extremely pissed, but I don't see that happening. But that being said, what concerns me is that if they put him in a Tag Team Championship match at WrestleMania alongside Biggie Langston against Team Hell No, which I don't really want to see all that much anyway, which I wouldn't mind it, but Ziggler shouldn't be in the Tag Team title picture at this point in time. But anyway, if they have the World Title match kick off the show between Rio and Swagger, and they have Ziggler cash in shortly thereafter, he's not going to go into that Tag Team title match later in the night as world champion. You know what I mean? I just don't see that making that much. So if they are going to have the Tag Team title match at WrestleMania, when it's confirmed, if it's going to be confirmed for the event, I'm going to go on record and say that he's not going to cash in, because I just don't see him, because I see the world title match opening up the show, and I just don't see him walking into the WWE Tag Team Championship match a world champion. And so it's just randomly booked, but I guess we'll see when the match is confirmed, and hopefully next week or the week after.
Yeah, and then as we've seen the last couple of years, the world title match has opened up WrestleMania. And with WWE's logic, you know, they're not going to put two titles on one guy. Just nowadays, they don't do that. I don't see Ziggler. I mean, unless they save the world title match for later in the card, like later on in the show, as one of the last four matches. But I don't see that happening because, like, you know how we've seen Del Rio and Edge opened up 27, Bryan and Sheamus opened up 28, and this year it's probably going to be Swagger and Del Rio opening up the show.
Yeah, because they have many other main event matches, so that's why I said that when they need to space it out accordingly, the world title match is going to open up the show. And yeah, I don't see Dolph Ziggler holding both championships due to the fact that the WWE Tag Team division at the moment is irrelevant as it is, and if he was world champion, he would have no business defending the tag team titles, so I don't see that happening. But, I mean, I don't mind the match itself if we do get that match and Dolph Ziggler doesn't cash in. I could see that happening, but I don't mind the tag team match because of AJ's, you know, Dolph Ziggler's girlfriend, her history with, you know, Daniel Bryan and Kane respectively from last summer. It makes sense, and the match itself could be good because Dolph Ziggler had great matches with both D-Bry and Kane this week. Biggie Langston, I don't know how he is in the ring. I don't watch NXT. I don't know, but it's a tag team match, so if he's not all that good in the ring, he's limited in the match at the hands of Dolph Ziggler. So I don't mind the match. It makes sense. It's logical. It has history behind it. I just don't really want to see it due to the fact that Ziggler is Mr. Money in the Bank. He shouldn't be in a tag team championship match when the titles mean absolutely nothing as it is. And shouldn't be losing if he was to lose. And another concerning thing is that Team Hell No shouldn't be tag champions to begin with. I mean, I love the tandem, but they've held the titles way past when they should have dropped them, you know, to Rhodes Scholars back in January, or even before that. So they need to drop the titles. I just don't want to see them drop the titles to Ziggler and Biggie Langston.
Yeah, and the thing about Biggie Langston is, he's still the NXT champion, and I think that's what's been holding him back, competing on Raw and SmackDown and on televised events. I think that's what's been holding, because I don't even think he's been competing on live events either. So I think what's been holding him back is because, yeah, he's still the NXT champion. So I don't see them doing anything with Langston, like throwing him in, like putting him, booking him for matches and feuds until he actually drops the NXT title.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because, yeah, I mean, Mania's in 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks, right?
Yep, just about 3 weeks.
Yeah, Mania's 3 weeks away, so I don't know. I don't know if they want to take the title off. I mean, I don't know if they want to take the NXT title off of Langston and just confirm the match with him and Ziggler against Hell No, which I don't want to see either. Like, cause like you said, Ziggler shouldn't be in the tag team. He shouldn't be in a tag team title match, especially at Mania. It's just a big step forward for him, a big step back for him. He can, nonetheless, he's also the Money in the Bank. So it wouldn't make any sense with that booking, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm just baffled by the fact that he's still NXT champion, because, I mean, when Seth Rollins was NXT champion, they took the title off him like a week or two after that he was the Shield debuted. So I'm just surprised at the fact that Biggie Langston's still NXT champion. Maybe he'll drop it at some point in time, but I just don't see him dropping the championship anytime soon due to the fact, like you were saying, it's still the road to WrestleMania. Maybe he'll drop it soon if he's going to be competing in the tag team title match. But yeah, that's a nice observation, though, that he's not competing in any live events on Raw or SmackDown or whatever. Yeah, it's certainly interesting because I want to see him drop the championship maybe to someone else this next year that could benefit from it. Not a guy that's already on TV that doesn't need it at all at this point in time.
Yeah.
I don't know. The tag team division right now, as it stands, but we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. They had so much momentum, especially at the beginning of the year. Now they've just kind of faltered. I don't know what I want to see at WrestleMania with the tag team division. I don't want to see Hell No break up and fight against each other. I don't know who would face them, though. So I'm really interested to see what they actually do.
Yeah, like you were just saying, I don't want to see them. I do want to see them break up. I just don't want to see them face each other again. That's one thing I do not want to see. Shane and Daniel Bryan have faced each other a handful of times over the last 6 months since last summer. I do not want to see that match again. I don't know who would be the heel. I don't really care. I just want to see them split up, drop the championships, and just part ways. Like Road Scholars. I mean, well, technically not a good example because they're still technically together, but I just want to see a tag team that just splits up and doesn't necessarily need to feud. Just have Kane go his separate way, and you know, maybe turn him back heel, maybe the same thing with Daniel Bryan, but you put Daniel Bryan back in the main event title picture. That's where he belongs, over on SmackDown. But, I mean, it's just going to be interesting how they handle that. Because, I mean, they've teased the split, the inevitable split of the tandem for months now. But they keep on going back on their word and have them be buddy-buddy once again every other week. So it's hard to take the split seriously when it actually happens. But I'm just going to be interested in when they do it, how they do it, and who's going to be coming out of it. And I just don't want, as I said before, a feud between the two after they do split up. And on that same note, we're going to be going off the live stream in the next 90 seconds for those listening live. Thanks for listening. We're going to be putting this on the archive so you can listen to the rest of this podcast. Once we tweet it out after the show, you can listen to the rest of the show on blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio for the rest of the podcast. And once again, thanks for listening. But yeah, as I was just saying, the tag team itself should just split up, drop the tag team titles to someone who could use the tag team titles, and just not feud, because that's a match that I do not want to see ever again anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I want to see Dolph Ziggler outside of it. I don't know. They've kind of painted themselves into a corner with this, because they've gotten rid of most of the legit tag teams, and they're pretty much stuck. I would be okay if we didn't have a tag match at WrestleMania. Just because it has no momentum, there's no point in trying to force it on the card.
Yeah, I agree.
I think the only match that I want to see, I think that would make sense,
Road Scholar versus New Age Outlaws. I mean, we got that tease going in a Monday. That only lasted maybe a minute or so before it was interrupted by Brock Lesnar, which I was happy about, so we can get the match, the rematch at WrestleMania, which I think will make the most sense. I don't see Elno dropping the championships in the next few Road Scholars, although I would love to see that, and then you do Road Scholar versus New Age Outlaws and Mania for the tag team titles. Or you just do even a triple threat tag team match with the New Age Outlaws, Road Scholars, and Team Elno, maybe throw in Phantom players, because Darren Young is from the New Jersey area. Maybe do something like that, maybe a gauntlet match, but I definitely want to see some sort of confrontation between New Age Outlaws and Road Scholars, because after we saw it on Monday, that Damian Sandow that preceded the match was hilarious. The match itself, while it lasted, it was fun. I think it could benefit Road Scholars tremendously, so I want to see some confrontation between the two at WrestleMania, undoubtedly, regardless of whether it involves attacking titles or not.
Well, like, I think at this point we're more likely just to see Road Scholars against the New Age Outlaws because, yeah, like you said, the match only lasted about a minute or two before Brock Lesnar came out and just completely destroyed them. And at the same time, you still have Damian Sandow live events doing his parody of the New Age Outlaw intro. So I do see that as, you know, they may continue this feud going into WrestleMania.
I hope so.
Yeah, one thing I think could be really cool is have a bunch of new tag teams in some sort of contest for a shot at the tag team title at WrestleMania, like a tag team Money in the Bank match. I think could be really cool, where only one of the people needs to go up and grab the title, or grab the briefcase, and then both of them can cash in whenever they want. Or something along that line. Let's bring, like, a gimmick match that we haven't seen in forever. Like a something on a pole match or, something like that. I think that could be really interesting because then that puts a lot more attention on the division. And it gives whoever wins some credibility and it makes the match a lot more interesting.
I don't know about a pole match because those matches are usually terrible, but I do agree on the gimmick matches. I think the matchup could benefit tag team division if we were to see it again. Tag team turmoil matchup. We saw the last time, I believe the last time we saw that was Night of Champions 2010 when Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre won the tag team titles together. That's a great matchup. It's like a mini Royal Rumble for tag teams, so I like that kind of matchup. And I hope we see that at WrestleMania, maybe on the pre-show, because I believe the pre-show is going to be maybe an hour this year, from what I heard. That would be great to see. But, yeah, we saw something similar to that last June at No Way Out. It was an unadvertised matchup, but nonetheless, primetime players defeated three other teams, and I don't know if it was an elimination-style match or what, but primetime players won that match and became the new number one contenders to the WWE Tag Team titles for the time being. So, yeah, I would love to see something along those lines. I mean, the tag team division is helpless at this point. It's all about Team Hell No. It's everyone else is just insignificant, in a comparison to them. So as long as we see some sort of tag team match at WrestleMania, I'm content. But it needs to include Team Hell No, and you need to get Road Scholars and the New Age Outlaws in there as well. Because if you put the tag team titles in a feud like with New Age Outlaws and the Road Scholars, make it feel important. That's what I want to see, because the tag team titles not only need to be on people that need them, but there needs to be a story surrounding them to make people care about the belts and the feud itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, but kind of going back to what I said, I'd love a bunch of the old gimmick matches to return, like with the casket match with Undertaker. That probably won't ever happen again since he's near the end of his career, but like an Inferno match with Kane, some of the specialty matches with the characters, I think introduce or bringing back one of them at WrestleMania, not necessarily in the Undertaker match, but with another type of match, I think would be very, I don't know. I just think it would be interesting to see some of the old gimmick matches.
I would love to see an Inferno match. I thought we were going to get that at Survivor Series. It was Bragging Rights 2010. Kane versus Undertaker for the World Championship. It was their final rematch or third match on pay-per-view together consecutively. I thought we were going to be seeing an Inferno match. We got a Buried Alive match instead, which wasn't bad, but I believe the reason why we're not getting an Inferno match anymore is due to the fact that it's not PG, so maybe that's why we don't get it, because I believe the last time we got it was maybe Armageddon 2006 between MVP and Kane. Yeah, I don't see it happening in a Taker match anymore, especially the fact that he only wrestles once a year, but I do see it happening in a Kane match. So, as I said before, Kane versus MVP, didn't care. So you just do a Kane match and an Inferno match, but again, I'm not sure if they can have it nowadays due to the project being PG.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the last Inferno match was Kane and MVP back in 2007, 2008, I want to say.
2006, I think.
Oh, maybe it was 2006. I don't know. I remember that. I just remember MVP had some burns during the Royal Rumble, so it was around that time. But, I don't know. I'd love to see a match like that return. And I don't know. I think they probably won't see a gimmick match because we've got Extreme Rules at the next pay-per-view. But I'd love to see one of the more specialty matches at Extreme Rules. I think it could be really fun.
Yeah, that I could see happening. Maybe not much so at WrestleMania, but yeah, definitely Extreme Rules. Extreme Rules is almost always a great pay-per-view. As long as they don't do the standard, you know, last man standing match, tables match, chairs match, steel cage, whatever. You know, keep it basic. They need to go outside the box a little bit and use match stipulations that they don't normally use. I'm not talking about the pole matches because those are pretty dumb and unrealistic. I just, from a personal point of view, I don't enjoy those kind of matches, but one match they need to bring back at some point in time, the Iron Man match. We haven't seen it since John Cena versus Randy Orton at Bragging Rights 2009. It's only involved for, you know, big feuds, but we've got a lot of big feuds that could have used it, like Punk and Braun. Cena versus Punk for sure as hell should have used the Iron Man match. Maybe we should have gotten that at some point. Maybe we will get that at some point, but that needs to come back. An excellent match that you could use for a CM Punk kind of guy or a Daniel Bryan feud. Guys that can go a full hour. Maybe not much Rock and Cena. Someone suggested that to me, that they do a Rock and Cena Iron Man match. Not too sure about that. I don't think Rock can go an hour, much less 15 minutes. So I'm not too sure about that. But that's one stipulation I need to see return in the next few months, or years, I should say.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the match I want to see return most is the Iron Man match. That's one of my favorite matches of all time, just because it really demands people who can go an hour, and because of that, it demands great performers. So I'd love to see that return. And if they have a third Cena Rock match next year, that's what I'd like to see, an Iron Man match. Although,
that's what I'm saying. I don't think Rock can go an hour.
Yeah, that's true. However, if Cena and Undertaker go next year, I'd love to see an I Quit match.
Yes. I've been booking that for years now. Yes, because both guys have never tapped out. I think Undertaker's maybe tapped out only maybe once or twice. Cena, I think, hasn't tapped out maybe 10 years. So, yes, definitely. I definitely agree with that opinion.
Yeah. I was going to say, back in, I think it was 2004 when Kurt Angle tapped out John Cena. I forgot what pay-per-view was.
Yeah.
But it was the triple threat.
Yeah, it was like No Mercy or something.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
I think that's the last time I think he tapped out, yeah. But it's sure as hell been like a long time. So, yeah, that'd be fantastic.
It's certain, and I don't know, and I quit match or a submission match, one of those two, because it would force, like, the STF is one of Cena's staple moves. Hell's Gate is a relatively new move in terms of the Undertaker's career, where it's only come into play in the last 5 years or so. So, with the Hell's Gate, it's something that's not too big a part of his arsenal yet. I mean, he did use it to beat Triple H at WrestleMania 27, but I don't know. I think that would be extremely interesting. I know this is really off topic. We're talking about a match that may or may not happen in the next year, but it's always fun to speculate.
Yeah, totally. I think it's the only concern with that kind of match, an I Quit match between between Taker and Cena, and someone brought this up to me as well, is the fact that it would hinder the match due to the fact that you not, like, if they hit an attitude adjustment or a tombstone or whatever, there's no real suspense because there's no pinfalls, you know what I mean? Because that's where the most emotion comes out of, is the pinfalls and the pinfalls and stuff like that. It's only submission. I could see why it would work. I would love to see it. But then again, I could see why they wouldn't go with that route because, you know, we've seen it in an attitude adjustment. There's no real emotion because we know that there's no pinfalls or anything like that. But, yeah, I think that would be an epic match, and I'm probably going to do that at some point in time, maybe a video game or something, because that's a perfect match to do between two guys that have never really tapped out all that frequently between John Cena and The Undertaker.
Yeah, I don't know. That would just be an extremely interesting match. But with the talk of specialty matches, I'd love to see a casket match again. Those were awesome, especially his casket match against Mark Henry back in 2022. I can remember that. Wow, that's been a long time. That's been 7 years. It doesn't seem like that long. But I don't know. Some of these other matches. So, like, even if it's just going back to this year's WrestleMania, to have kind of a really specialty match or a stipulation match, like the billionaire match at WrestleMania 23, where Vince McMahon got his head shaved. I want a stipulation like that. You know, I think stipulations like that introduce something to the card that nothing really else can. We haven't seen it that much. I mean, we saw it at WrestleMania 26, Streak versus Career, but that match is going to be big anyways. I know, I'd love to see a fun little stipulation like that.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I could see something like that happening this year. I know for sure as heck that we're getting, Triple H versus Lesnar in a specialty match or a stipulation match, like, you know, Old Spart or Hell in a Cell or whatever it's going to be. But, yeah, I could see what you mean, like, where it's not really a match. It's a singles match, but it has implications, I'll say that much. It's like it has where you need to get your head shaved or you leave the WWE or you're forced to retire, something along those lines. Yeah, I could see that happening this year's WrestleMania in a match like that. I'm not sure what match, but, yeah, I would love to see something like that happen this year's Mania. You know, give it an extra spice.
Yeah, I actually did remember we did have a stipulation match last year.
The multi-man match, right?
Yeah, for the control of both shows.
Yeah, yep.
I almost forgot about that one. Okay, so I want a stipulation match. That's actually interesting and good. Let's change it to that.
Yeah, that'd be definitely helpful in a match that's actually entertaining. I mean, it wasn't a bad match, but no one really cared about it, and we all kind of knew that Team Johnny was coming up victorious anyway. But I also wanted to bring this up as well. The Bella Twins, who return on this week's Monday Night Raw episode, we've been talking about for weeks how the Divas Division has been lacking since Caitlyn won the Divas Championship. And that's no knock on her, because, I mean, she's improved immensely over the last 3 years and whatever, but that's not really more so her, it's kind of the writers now putting them on Raw and whatever, and they haven't had a match. The Divas haven't had a match on Raw, and I believe quite a while, since maybe January, since Caitlyn captured the title back in January. But why I bring this up is because when we were discussing this a few weeks ago, you, Ben, suggested the idea to bring back former Divas. When we were talking about bringing up Divas from NXT, which I guess was scrapped by Creative or whatever, from what I read, I guess they changed the idea. When we were talking about that, you were talking about how bringing back former Divas would be a good idea, and they did just that with the Bella Twins. Now, on that same note, it's also since been reported that they're reaching out to former Divas to come back. That would be good to see. I would love to see former Divas back and help the division. The Bella Twins were involved in a backstage segment with the Funkadactyls on SmackDown, which is pretty well booked. They've gotten a brawl, so that's starting slowly but surely rebuilding the division back up. So that's good to see. They're having a new develop between Layla and Caitlyn, so that's nice to see, too. I would love to see someone like Maryse come back, not much so Kelly, but maybe someone like definitely Karma, which would be great now that the Bellas are back. You can do that angle, finally tie that loose end up. But, yeah, hopefully we see some more familiar faces pop back up in the next few months as well.
A match I was really hoping to see, a match that I was hoping to see last year's Mania was, well, they're not with the company anymore, but a rumored match with Karma and Beth Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a match that me and Ben were talking about here on Spoilers, maybe. I don't know. We talked We talked about that on our very first episode in October of 2011. We were clamoring for that for months, for maybe 6 or 7 months before Karma just got released just last year. But, yeah, that's a match that I'd love to see. I'm not sure if Beth Phoenix is going to be coming back anytime soon. I don't assume so. She just left in October, and I believe they reached out to her to come back, but I don't see her coming back anytime soon. She just left in October, so I don't expect her to come back in the next few months or whatever. But, yes, that is a match I would love to see. It was a dream match. They had every option to do it. That's a match that I wanted to do last year at WrestleMania. But then again, I don't see them having a Divas Championship at this year's WrestleMania. I don't even see Caitlyn versus Layla happening. I see probably a multi-diva match happening more than likely like we've seen in years past. Now that the Bellas are back and they want to incorporate them at Mania, so we'll probably see like maybe Caitlyn and Layla versus the Bella Twins, some garbage like that. When they really should have done, as I've said 1,000 times before, AJ versus Caitlyn in AJ's hometown for the Divas title would have been brilliant. Didn't go that route. Nothing you can do about it now, but sadly the Divas Championship will once again not be in the line at WrestleMania.
Yeah. It would have been good considering the fact that they were best friends and just enemies at some point.
Exactly.
The story just kind of died out, but then, you know, they were having the segments weekly where backstage, AJ would slap Caitlyn. And
yep.
They would get into brawls. And I think there was a squash match with AJ beating Caitlyn, I think in like a minute or 45
yep.
seconds or a minute. Yeah. I mean, and now that Caitlyn's the Divas champion, it would have made perfect sense to just. They could have done it 3 weeks after Caitlyn won the title, or maybe even the week after, and Caitlyn beat Eve for the title. You know, she could have had a backstage segment with AJ congratulating her. And then Caitlyn says, you know, we've had our past, blah, 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 et cetera, like that. And then, you know, and then Caitlyn says she doesn't trust AJ with their past. And it just leads up to another brawl between the two of them. There you go. WrestleMania match right there.
I mean, as you were just saying, they have their history from NXT Season 3 in late 2010 when AJ started to turn heel last year. I mean, even in 2011, they were best friends. They were on the SmackDown fans. They were the Shitbusters together, I believe what they call themselves. And AJ started to turn heel. They had those weak backstage segments where AJ would slap the taste right out of Caitlyn's mouth. Yeah, as you were just saying, they had a quick squash match. They had their most recent brawl just a few weeks ago. Just a few months ago over on Super SmackDown. I believe it was in late December. It was shortly after that AJ turned heel. They had a brief confrontation in a backstage segment on Super SmackDown. They were doing segments. AJ was the Raw General Manager. I mean, it's been consistent. I mean, the history is there. I don't see why WWE wouldn't go with that match. And AJ is the most relevant diva in the entire goddamn Divas division. Why you don't put the championship on her, I have no idea. But she's a great wrestler, she's relevant, and you can feature her on Raw every single week alongside Dolph Ziggler, especially given the fact that there's a very likely chance that we might be seeing Dolph Ziggler as the new World Heavyweight Champion after WrestleMania. So do an
exactly.
kind of thing. What was that?
That could have been your next power couple, myself.
Exactly. You give Ziggler the World Championship. I mean, it could still happen. I'm not ruling that out, but I think it would be pretty freaking cool if we saw AJ as the champion simultaneously while Ziggler was the world champion. So I think that could add credibility to this deal. Maybe give length in the title as well. I'm not sure, but that would be great to see if they did something along those lines. AJ is very deserving of a Divas Championship match. Maybe they'll do it down the line, maybe not much so at WrestleMania, but why I want to see at WrestleMania, given the fact that Divas title, since being insinuated in 2008, back 5 years ago, title has ever been defended at WrestleMania. And not only that, but they're in AJ's home state this year, too. Would have made much more sense if they went with that match, but again, there's really nothing to do about it now.
Yeah, they're clearly setting something up between Layla and Caitlyn. Well, I mean, Layla hasn't exactly turned heel, but it's being teased, and it's going by as the weeks go by. It's pretty obvious that, I mean, there's talk of Caitlyn going heel, but I don't see that happening. I think Layla's going to be the one more likely going heel. considering I think it was a couple weeks ago how, not even a couple weeks, it's been a few times actually, where Layla is just eyeballing the Divas Championship. Like, you know, she wants it back.
I could see that happening. I don't think it's a bad feud, because I think they could do worse. I think they could do maybe something like Caitlyn versus Oksana or Caitlyn versus Alicia Fox. It's not that bad, so I'm okay with it. Layla's a good worker. She's probably one of the better workers in the Divas division. More than likely, I think she probably is the best Divas division worker in the at the moment, aside from AJ. So putting her against Caitlyn will be nice. But I think obviously the history is there between AJ and Caitlyn, so that's why I want to see that match much more than Layla versus Caitlyn. And then they just start featuring that feud with Layla over on Raw. I mean, they've been doing that over on SmackDown for weeks now. They need to transition that to Raw so the Raw viewers know about this feud. And it starts to become relevant, that can make it a match. They can make it a match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. It almost seems like it's a bit too late to make a WrestleMania feud with 3 weeks to go, but it's certainly possible they just have to do it right. I said earlier that I want 3 out of the 4 championships on the line at WrestleMania. And we were having a discussion earlier about the tag team title where I couldn't really see a future for the tag team title WrestleMania, or not a future, but a match at WrestleMania. So we have to have something with the Divas. And when I said I wanted to bring back former Divas, I was talking more about the Hall of Famers, Trish Stratus, and not the Bella Twins. It's like, I don't know, but I do think the Bella Twins being back means something, and I think they're going to do something at WrestleMania. I just hope it's not messed up like Divas matches usually tend to be at WrestleMania, just to give them some space. I hope they get a singles match, maybe a tag team match, or something along those lines. Maybe the Bellas will turn against each other on Monday, and then go into one of the worst Wrestle Divas matches ever at WrestleMania. I don't know, but I hope they'd come up with something good.
Like you were saying right now about...
So you can go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Like you were saying right now about Trish Stratus. You know, yeah, they could have gone bringing back Trish Stratus, Lita, Molly Holly, Jazz. You know, like the really talented female workers from back then.
Yeah.
One I would really like to see return, who I have not seen in years, would probably be Molly Holly.
That'd be a nice return.
Yeah, that would be cool. I actually really liked Molly Holly. But it'll be interesting to see what they do at WrestleMania, because right now I think there's 4 confirmed matches. I'll have to double check on that.
Yep.
And
I think there's 2.
4? Okay, so they've still got, like, 5 to do, to confirm before WrestleMania, it's 3 weeks to go, 4 or 5 to confirm, because it's a 4-hour show, there's usually 8 or 9 matches on the WrestleMania card, so I don't know. I hope that they don't wait too late. I really don't.
I think there's 5 confirmed matches, actually. We have the WWE title match, the world title match, Punk Taker, Triple H, Lesnar, and just confirmed last night on the SmackDown, we're getting the Shield versus Orton, Sheamus. Actually, we have Ryback. Now, this is another thing I wanted to talk about quickly as well.
Yeah.
It was scheduled. You know, everyone was thinking it was going to be Big Show, and I mean, I don't want to see Big Show turn face, but obviously that makes much more sense than Ryback, who we all thought was going to be facing Mark Henry at WrestleMania. Now, after that was confirmed, I thought they were going to have Ryback squash Mark Henry, some shit like that, give it away on SmackDown. Thankfully, the match never really happened, and they had the Shield come down, interrupt, and the match never happened, and Mark Henry attacked Ryback after the match. So maybe, I don't know why they wouldn't just go straight forward with it and just confirm Big Show for the match and not play mind games with the viewers with 3 weeks remaining. Hopefully, they just take Ryback out of the match and replace him with Big Show, who suggested or, you know, preferred and asked that he would be in the matchup, and they said no. Sheamus Norton said no. So maybe that wouldn't make much more sense, because I don't know what they would do with Big Show and Mark Henry if Ryback was in the match, and I don't want to see anyone pull double duty. So hopefully they confirm that to him, because Ryback versus Mark Henry makes much more sense than Ryback in that 6-man tag team match. That's just, I don't know what that is.
I think the purpose of that segment was Okay, you have Big Show ask Randy Orton, because this is a situation where you don't actually need to turn Big Show face. You know, it could be something like SummerSlam 2010 with Nexus, how they have the faces and the heels, you know, work together
exactly.
to take on the Nexus. Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
Big Show's been a great heel. This has probably been his best heel run. So, like, I would not want to see Big Show turn back to face. And I think the purpose of the segment was, they wanted to make Mark Henry look stronger. Because pretty much what he did was he destroyed Ryback and embarrassed him, put him in the Hall of Pain. And this is going to make... Because I think we're still going to see Ryback versus Henry, because I can see them pulling... I can see Ryback dropping out of the match because he wants to go after Henry, and then that leaves him with no other choice than to go with Big Show as their partner, take on the Shield at Mania. And I think the whole point of that segment was they wanted to make Mark Henry look strong. Because, yeah, he's already been booked as a monster, as a destructive heel, which is good. But the thing is, he's going against Ryback, who is another destructive force. So, of course, they want to make Henry look dominant. So, of course, they want to have him destroy Ryback. I mean, yeah, of course the Shield did it at first, but, you know, they want to make Mark Henry look even more dominant than he already is by destroying Ryback.
Yeah, that makes much more sense. I mean, I don't like generic heel stable that, you know, be the stereotypical heel stable that attacks only faces. The best heel stables like Nexus, and kind of to an extent, Aces and Ace do kind of the same thing, but they attack both faces and heels, so they're not targeting just one, group of people. You know, the Shield has been attacking heels, not really, but they've attacked Big Show. And if they tease the tension between Randy Orton and Sheamus, that's another intriguing aspect to that match. Can Big Show, Orton, and Sheamus, can they work together? Can they coexist in this six-man tag team match? Can Randy Orton be trusted? Can Sheamus be trusted? Can Big Show be trusted? That makes it much more intriguing than just doing Ryback or Sheamus. That's it, because we know they're going to win. There's no doubt about it, because Ryback already lost 3-4 this. So I'd much rather see Big Show in a match. I mean, I don't love Big Show, not a huge fan of his, but... would make much more sense, and I just don't see the point in doing all this. You know, I could see, as you were just saying, David, in booking the match or making Mark Henry look stronger by attacking Ryback and whatever, but I just don't see the point in playing mind games with us and going and confirming the match and not confirming the match and switching the participants with only 3 weeks. I mean, I could see them doing that a month out and then kind of slowly changing the match over time, but with 3 weeks left, they have to set in stone the card now, so we're not guessing it in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I mean, and honestly, I like what they did on SmackDown last night with Henry destroying Ryback. But yeah, like you said, they shouldn't be playing mind games with us. Ryback and Mark Henry should have never been, like, announced as a SmackDown match. They should have just had the two... I mean, this is another thing that kind of bugs me. Like, Mark Henry and Ryback, because what happened, what they did to Drew McIntyre on Monday, how they both pretty much just destroyed him. Like, that was a great segment. Two dominant forces trying to one up each other by destroying someone. If it was me, I would have not done any physical contact with Ryback and Henry going into Mania. I would have announced it, but I would not have had the two get physical. I mean, I like what they did with Mark Henry destroying Ryback, but if it was me, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have the two get physical until Mania. I think a build-up is better between, like, two guys. I think a build-up is better. I think it adds more to the build-up when there's no physical contact until the match itself.
Yeah, exactly, especially with two icons like Ryback and Mark Henry, two destructive forces. Like you were saying, the segment on Raw was very well booked, and they kind of screwed that up on SmackDown by having Mark Henry attack Ryback. But again, I'm fine with it, because like you were saying before, David, I think having Mark Henry go over Ryback in the fashion that he did, dominating him, giving him three World's Strongest Slams, makes him look even more dominant and makes me even more excited for that matchup if it ends up happening in WrestleMania.
It's It'll happen. I mean the Shield wouldn't have attacked the Big. If they were to go with Ryback, then that leaves Big Show nothing to do, and it would have made the Shield attacking him mean nothing. So I definitely see Ryback dropping out of the match to go after Henry, and then Ryback's just completely focused on destroying Mark Henry. He doesn't want to, like, he's more concerned about destroying Mark Henry than he is the Shield, because Mark Henry dominated and embarrassed him. And then, of course, it's going to leave Orton and Sheamus to go with Big Show.
Exactly. That makes much more sense.
Okay, so we just hit the 90-minute mark of the show, so we're just about out of time. You guys have any last comments before we head off?
No, I'm good.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at SirBen_WE. You can find my writing at one of our sponsor sites, WrestleEnigma.com, and also check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, as they're the ones who host us on Blog Talk Radio. You can email the podcast, SpoilersPodcast@gmail.com, and you can also follow us at Spoilers Podcast on Twitter.
You can like us on. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you done?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were continuing. You can like my Facebook page at Graham GSM Matthews. Follow me on Twitter and now at @team_GSM. You guys can find my Bleacher Report work on Bleacher Report simply searching Graham GSM Matthews. I'm on YouTube as well. Teddy DiBiase +9. You can visit my website for all the WWE TNA rumors, recaps, and more at nextarwrestling.weebly.com. Of course, check out Save Us GSM this upcoming Wednesday night, 10 Eastern Time, 9 Central Time. David will be my special guest in the show, so listen live to that on PW247.net. And, of course, listen to Spoilers every Thursday evening. This is just a special time and a Saturday night. We're going to be doing this, of course, at our usual slot going forward on Thursday evenings at 5:30 Eastern Time, 4:30 Central Time every single week at blogtalkradio.com/PWPRadio. So enjoy the rest of your weekend, guys, and we'll see you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right.